Hey, it's Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Take the Stage. This week, I'm joined by Mark Winter, CEO of Windsource Group. Mark is an expert at driving sales performance, keeping focus on customers, and keeping things simple. For 20 years, Mark has held every sales role out there, from branch manager to vice president of sales and enablement for a $2.5 billion publicly traded staffing company. During that time, he spent countless hours figuring out what works and, of course, what doesn't. This enables Mark to sniff out things that are blocking performance, remove the barrier, and get people to act. He's a Six Sigma Black Belt and holds master certifications from some of the top sales training organizations in the world. Whether it's strategic planning, sales process development, sales training, customer acquisition and engagement, sales team performance, or system and tool adoption, Mark can help you get your team on track. On this episode, we talk all things sales. What is a sales strategy? Who are we selling to? How do we tackle the market? How will we know what's working? And Mark hits us with a quote that I have to share. No one needs a half-inch drill bit. They need a half-inch hole. Join me and Mark Winter as we take the stage. Mark, let's start right at the foundation. What is a sales strategy?
Sales strategy. You know, I think that word gets tossed around a lot, strategy, right? We have a strategy for everything. Here's the deal. It's how are we going to tackle the market? How are we going to accomplish whatever the objective is, whether it's an individual objective or it's an organizational objective? It's the plan for how we're going to do it. That simple.
Do you find the staffing and recruiting industry typically has a strategy, or are we just deploying sales tactics?
Yeah, I would say even more staffing companies have sales reactions.
Ooh.
I don't even know. I would love to think that we're as far along as having full blown thought out tactics. But I think most of the time we have reactions.
Yeah. And it is reaction, right? I know in my 11 years in the industry now, it's this pendulum swinging back and forth, right? We either need candidates or we need clients. There's never this, why don't we just tackle and raise both, right? And just sort of have this effort to get both candidates and clients and just grow our business. It's either one or the other. Why do you think it is that?
Well, the pendulum's not determined by us, right? It's determined by the market and it's determined by our customers, their need. And so we're reacting or responding to that need. And the reality is, and the good news for us is client companies out there, they're also reactive. They're reacting. That's what drives that pendulum. And if there was any kind of a balance, if there was ever a time where that the whole system was in balance, they wouldn't need us anymore. So they're using us to help control that pendulum swing so it doesn't swing wildly out of control. It's their needs, it's their inability to get their arms around that pendulum swing that actually puts us in business. So it's a good thing. It feels frustrating for us, but it's a good thing.
How do you propose we go from being reactive to more proactive with our sales efforts?
Oh, yeah. So not in every case, but in some cases, that pendulum swing is totally predictable. Totally predictable. Let me give you an example. So when we when I first meet a potential staffing client, one of the very first questions out of my mouth is, do you use staffing as part of your strategy, as part of your operating plan, or is it a necessary evil? And so their answer to that question helps me determine how their business is set up and how I can engage with their business. So if they say, well, we use it as part of our operating plan, we use it part of our strategy, then I know that they're probably in a volatile business that does this all year, right? So you think about any type of seasonal businesses, outdoor businesses like construction or landscaping or whatever, even manufacturing, all of those have really predictable seasonal peaks. So as a staffing company, what I have to do is get my arms around those seasonal peaks. If I know when those peaks are going to happen, well, then man, I just got to contact those clients just before the peak's supposed to happen. So we can help both ourselves and them get less reactive by just understanding the volatility of the business, because that stuff happens over and over and over again. Now, then there's the second group of people that are like, well, we really want to work ourselves out of using staffing companies, or we use our staffing right now because our business is chaotic and we're just trying to get our arms around it. We can't hire, whatever. And by understanding that, by understanding where their challenges lie, is it in finding and sourcing candidates? Is it actually getting people on site? Is it managing the workforce? By then digging in deeper to what they're actually trying to get a handle on, well, then we can help them kind of calm down, you know, calm things down a little bit, right? So yeah. It starts with understanding what your customers are using staffing for, and then just digging in.
Yeah. Speaking of digging in, you know, a lot of the calls that I'm a part of right now, I'd say 99% of them is the industry struggling to find clients, right? And struggling to sell. Yeah. And my train of thought always goes back to, well, who are you selling to, right? Oh. Are you going back to former customers and former clients, someone who's a current client that you want to do more business with? Or are you going to somebody who's never heard of you in the first place, who you need to educate on your organization? What makes you different? Are we going that route? Breaking it down that way, then you have very specific strategies to get to those people, right?
Yep. Yeah. So I always think to myself, okay, if I were dropped into a staffing branch, or if I were dropped into a sales role today, how would I tackle it? So the very first thing that I would focus on is, who are you doing business with now? And can I get more business from that channel? That's right. It's easier to get business from people you're already working with. So then, and while I'm pursuing that business, I'm asking for referrals. So everyone I'm talking to, I end the conversation with, hey, if you were me, where else would you go? And see what I get, right? Then I would go to, who has my company or who has my business unit serviced in the past, either most recently or this time last year? So now I'm chasing stuff again. I'm trying to capture that seasonal volatility, but I'm also looking for, hey, who did we just lose, or who aren't we servicing? Then I'm going to stuff that I lost. So I'm looking at a pipeline. I'll check the last salesperson's pipeline, and I'll go into their pipeline and see what deals they lost. Is there anything I can recoup? And then I start networking, right? So who's in my network that again can give me referrals? I'm doing all of that before I make a single phone call, before I make a single cold call, I mean. So there's a ton of work to be done. Oh, and by the way, if you walk into any staffing company in the country and you sit down at a salesperson's desk and you pull open the drawer at the desk, there's going to be a rubber banded stack of business cards in there that are probably great leads, right? Somebody already did the legwork to go chase that stuff down. May as well start calling those before I crack open the proverbial yellow pages.
Yeah. And this could just be nearsightedness, and this could just be my stereotype of what I see. I feel like as an industry, and again, could be just my stereotype, and again, what I'm seeing, we don't necessarily try to get additional business from current customers. We're always looking for new fish. We're looking for a new pond to fish in. We're looking at even drastically going to a different niche or a different vertical before saying, hey, Mark, I know I'm helping you with X. Could I potentially help you with Y? Why do you think, and if I'm wrong, correct me there, but again, that's what I'm seeing. Why do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I know why that's the case. It's because nobody assigns someone to do it.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy? Like, yeah. We just haven't, as an organization, we haven't actually appointed someone and said, that's your job. We always say you need to get X number of new clients. You need to get X number of new business. But we don't say you're responsible for growing accounts by this much, by 20% or 10%, or getting 5 new deals from current customers. I think it's because we assume someone's going to do it. Surely someone will do it. Is that operations job? Is that the recruiter? Is that the manager? I think we just need to appoint somebody and say, go do it, and be super clear about it and chase it down. The other reason I think it's often not used as a metric, or that it's not clearly assigned, is because it's hard to measure. It's harder to measure. Did we get a 10 or 20% lift from this account versus did we bring in a new logo, right? So it's much easier to find new logos in our system. Anything that's assigned as a task and put out there and measured, it'll get done. You just got to do it.
Yeah, I'll say. So I sit on our account management team over here at Haley now. Was on our digital team, made a shift over to the account management side of things. And again, just thinking personally, I love the account management side of things. Mm-hmm. I love knowing that we're working with someone who's already a current customer who already loves us. And I'm just thinking about, okay, how can we make that relationship better, faster, stronger? How can I better help your organization? How can we work through your challenges and just have a good conversation about it?
Yeah.
For me, in my personality type, that works well for me. Now, me cold calling, it's not going to work well. I just know, again, my personality type. I am very outgoing, but I would prefer to have that deeper relationship with an individual. So again, I think, Mark, you're spot on. Appointing somebody and say, listen, these are the 50 people, work these relationships,
yeah,
or 50 companies, whatever it might be, work these relationships and let's elevate that.
Yeah.
Makes total sense to me.
The other, yeah, absolutely. The other thing that I think about is when you think about the relationship between sales and account management, they're, yeah, two very different functions. So, sure. All sales, I use the tagline, all sales is a change. When you sell something to a company, you're changing something, you're changing a process, changing a vendor, changing. So you're instituting change, right?
Yeah.
Well, okay. We sell it. We get the deal. We start servicing the account. And our reaction is don't change anything. Don't mess it up. Just keep it the same. Don't rock the boat. Don't be a disruption. Don't introduce new stuff because it's scary. We don't want to change anything. But the reality is if we're going to get them to do something different again, meaning taking more people or letting us into a new department, we have to get them to change. But it's two separate functions. So we've got to get over that hump of once we get the account, it's okay to continue to change. It's okay to push their buttons, push them around a little bit. Figuratively, don't actually push your customers, but it's okay to continue that evolution, right? Don't just try to keep status quo.
Yeah, Mark, you in your talk at the NISA Staffing Sales Summit, which is where I was most recently introduced to you, and I know you've been a friend of Haley Marketing for quite some time now, and we've crossed paths a few times. You really broke down what I would consider as almost like a 4-step sales strategy blueprint.
Yep.
Right. And you had a great slide in that deck that I actually saw somebody posted on LinkedIn, and it caught my eye before I knew we were going to sit down and talk for this episode. You said, no one needs a 1/2-inch drill bit. They need a 1/2-inch hole.
Mm-hmm.
I know what that means, but why don't you walk us through what that might mean for the listeners?
Yeah. So one of the first questions that I'll ask staffing companies, what do you sell? What do you sell? Mm-hmm. What is it you're selling? And the answer that I get 95% of the time is people. I sell people.
Yeah.
And on its surface, that's what it looks like. But what we're really doing is we're selling what the people do. So as a client company, someone that uses staffing services, if you were to ask them, hey, what are you buying? In some cases, they'd tell you people. But what they're buying most of the time is solutions. They need a manufacturing order filled. They need pallets dropped. They need something built. They need an executive to run a business unit of theirs. That's what they're actually trying to accomplish. You know, my business partner Jim says all the time, if we're in the people business, we're in trouble, because most of our customers are trying to figure out how to do a lot of jobs without people. They're trying to automate. They're trying to do some. Right. So that means that when we talk to them, we've got to be talking about the hole that they're trying to drill. What's the hole for? How big does the hole have to be? What are you going to do once you have the hole? Do you need a bunch of holes or just one hole? So yeah, that's the type, and it's really centering our conversation around their business, around what they're actually trying to accomplish, instead of dragging them into our business. People is our business. So every time we're talking about the body, the number of people that we're sending, the bodies that we're sending, the workers that we're, and I say bodies and selling people. I want you to know, I say that respectfully, right?
Of course.
I know that we're putting to work people with families, and I have great respect for that. But the folks that we're sending out there, if we're having conversations around the numbers of people that we're sending and the hours that they work, then we're dragging our customer into our business. What we need to be having conversations about are the holes. What is it they're trying to accomplish? What are they trying to get done? What are they doing on behalf of their customer? And if we can focus on that, if we can make that our business strategy, is to make our customer's business better rather than just focusing on the number of people we've got out, we're going to be way more successful.
This reminds me of an Amazon analogy that I've painted before. Amazon did not want to get into the smart speaker business, right? And if you're familiar, and I'm not going to say her name because everyone listening right now, the Sysmexa discs will go off. But they didn't want to get into smart discs and smart speakers, but they wanted to be in every room of your house so that if you needed to order soap, or you're in your bathroom and you need to order body wash, or you're in your kitchen and you need to order pots and pans, you can say, Sysmexa, add pots and pans to my cart. And then, you know, one more verbal cue, it's ordered. So the thought is, well, what does that person actually need? They don't need another speaker, right? Sure, I have Amazon Music and I can listen to Kenny Chesney or whatever if I want to. That's not why they want to be in my room, though. They want to be in my room because they want me to be able to purchase from them easily and efficiently. And the thought of, you know, no one needs a half inch drill bit, they need a half inch hole. Friends, if we can think backwards, and it's not even really backwards, but think about the end result, we can certainly sell a lot better.
That's it. Thinking with the end in mind, where's this going to go? Yeah. You know, and that's part of eliminating that reactivity is considering the end in mind. We approach new prospects like hopefully they'll take people from us. Hopefully they'll say yes to one person and we can get a relationship started. What we need to be thinking about is hopefully we can help them accomplish their business goals. Hopefully we can help them fulfill their order to their customer. If we take it from that perspective, now we're talking their language, we're going to get a whole different reception than most staffing companies.
Yeah. And I'm thinking over here, I don't know if it's a true differentiator, but it's definitely a differentiator when it comes to messaging. Yeah. If you're saying it this way, instead of, you know, hey, we put great people to work.
I've seen it. I've sold that way for years. And the reaction is completely different. Completely different. You know, I have a little game I play on sales calls sometimes when I'm working with staffing customers, like how little can I actually talk? Like how little can I say? So I lob a couple questions out there about their business and that's it. I just buckle up and sit back, wait for the ride because customers, prospects love to talk to you about their business. So when I see staffing salespeople that go in, they're like, I can't get people to give me the time of day. And my first reaction is, well, it's because they don't want to talk about you. They don't care about you or your business or your staffing company or anything. They talk about themselves. That's what they want to talk about. So engage that and sit back and enjoy the ride.
That's a lesson from Brad Smith, who's a friend of the show here and our chief strategy officer. He taught me a long time ago that the first question you ask on a client call is how's business? And then you just shut up and listen. Because within that, not only will they actually tell you, but you're going to get to the, you know, peel back the onion and peel back the layers and actually get to what you need to.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Mark, so we know what we're selling. How do we identify who we're selling to?
Ideal customer profile. I mean, you do really well. Everyone needs to have an ideal customer profile. By everyone, I mean every single salesperson needs to have an ideal customer profile. And it's made up of components of company size and shape and industry and all that stuff. But geography plays a part in that. Who you're selling to within that company plays a part in that. So I think about, if you go to HR purchasing, you're already commoditizing yourself versus going to operations or executive level. So know who your target is, who you're going to. Know what the company looks like, size, shape, industry, all that stuff, of course. But then there's also some psychographic type stuff that we're looking for, like how well do they communicate? Going back to that first question that I asked of, is staffing part of their strategy or is it a necessary evil? I would rather work with companies who you see it as part of their strategy. So understanding who your target is and not just slinging mud through your entire city is going to be way more effective.
Are you ready to make an impact this year? Our newest ebook gives you 33 of the best ideas to drive more sales and better marketing for your staffing firm. I'm going to share a link in just a second, and from there you can download that ebook or request a free lead generation strategy session that will give you the roadmap to more leads. Just visit haleymarketing.com/make an impact to get your copy today. That's haleymarketing.com/make an impact. All right, back to the show. Yeah, we had Tom Erb on a little while ago who mentioned that as a stereotype, we typically aim too low when we're prospecting in the organizational hierarchy, right? When you think about selling to a new customer, where should we be aiming?
High as you can, highest possible place. I would much rather get bumped down. It's tough to get a hold of executives. They have higher expectations. We can't just walk in on them. It takes some work. But once you get them, They'll put you in the right place. They'll bump you down. And it comes with borrowed authority. Now you can walk into some of those same contacts, operations or HR that you would have went to anyway, but you've got the weight of the referral from some executive. That's always the best place to go. The problem becomes you got to do a little bit more legwork. You got to be more thoughtful. So you've got to hang out where they hang out. You've got to go to the events that they're going to. You've got to call them and be persistent. You've got to have a good value prop or they're going to shut you down. So you've got to have some prep work.
You talked about ideal customer profile, and I think you even started to allude to ideal entry point. Can you walk us through finding the ideal entry point one more time?
Yeah. So, I start as high as I can go. So I want to get, and if you're using ZoomInfo or Apollo or some other tool out there, it should be easy enough to get an email address or a phone number. So I start as high as I can go. I craft a decent value prop, one for each level of the organization, because they're going to be different. You know, if you're talking to a CEO, CFO, they're going to want to hear about ROI. And anyway, so have your value prop nice and clear, but take that entry point as high as you can get it. There was another thought that I had. Hang on, I'm trying to get a thought back. Entry point. Oh, I'm having an old man moment. Sorry, man.
It's okay.
Entry point. Oh, here's what I was thinking about. A coach in the organization. So sometimes if I'm getting stuck or I'm having a hard time with I just can't get anybody, or I can't get anybody at the top, then I might go to where the vendors hang out, places like if it's a physical plant building, I might go to the loading dock. I might talk to other people in the organization that are close to my level, say a line supervisor or a manager or something, and just say, hey, I need some help. Can you help me just navigate the system here? That's an okay call to make, is to get some help navigating the system and get a coach in the organization. And here's a free tip. If I'm really stuck, if I can't get anything back from the organization, I fill out one of those forms on the website and someone from sales will call me back. And I immediately tell them when they call me back, listen, I don't want to be deceptive here, but I'm a sales guy. I'm trying to get into the organization. I can't get anything. Can you help point me in the right direction? Can you just give me a couple of names? And I have a great success rate with that. Rarely do people get ticked. The only time that doesn't work is if somebody calls you back from like a call center or something that doesn't know the organization either. But getting a hold of someone on the sales team of the company that you're trying to pursue is great, because they'll talk. They'll tell you everything.
I love that idea. That's a pro tip for you, friends. Mark, how do we tackle the market at step three of really your hierarchy system here?
So it's so what you're referring to is that 4-block system, right? And they'll have to call me to see a picture of it, but it's like this. It's like a 4-block, right? So you got this axis up here, which is how's the market doing. So down here means the market's going up. It's projecting positive. Across the bottom, we look at what's the level of competition in the market. So left side is light competition, right side is high competition. So if we're in the lower left quadrant of that space, then what I know is things are trending upward, which means people's willingness to buy is going up, and we have low competition. So what that tells me is I need marketing heavy activity. So every door, every floor, or just, you know, I need to be out there, high volume activity, high level of calls. So it helps define for me the types of activity that I'm doing in the market, which is really important, because the same person that's doing a high volume of calls is not that account manager that we talked about earlier, right?
Sure.
Okay. So that's one spot. Spot two is we've got really high level, good market growth. I think about 2021 and 2022, where all the staffing companies were growing like gangbusters, right? They were growing crazy. But competitive pressure is getting a little bit higher. Well, now I need a closer. I need somebody that's well-trained in sales, that has a good sales process, that maybe is supported by someone else who's doing the marketing, either a good website or somebody that's making some cold calls. So it's a little bit different salesperson. I get into box three. Box three is what the element that changes in box three is higher competitive pressure. So this is where we see good market growth or potentially stagnant market growth, but we have high competitive pressure. Well, now I need a good account manager. I need somebody that's going to care for that account, grow the account. It's not as important that we make 100 phone calls a day, right? And then box four is where I think a lot of staffing companies are right now, frankly. We call that the evolution box. And that's where standing out from the crowd, knowing what your value props are and knowing that you have a unique process to take care of your customer become uber important. Becomes ultra important. And here's why, because there's so many competitors, right? We see we're in a place now where the market's declining. It's softening just a little bit, but there's still a crap ton of staffing business out there. There's still billions of dollars in staffing. So if I can't get new staffing business on the street, I'm going to take it from my competitor. And so that's the box four theory is it's competitive pressure and pricing and business analysis.
So friends, I know you're either listening to the podcast or you're watching the video here. If you want a copy of that grid and that display that Mark just alluded to, you can reach out to him. We'll put his contact information in the show notes or in the description here. You can click over, reach out to Mark for that. I found it incredibly valuable. And Mark, I appreciate you walking through that with us.
Sure.
Without using the actual diagram and the assistance of a slide. Mark, the last thing that I want to talk about here before I let you go is really how we know if all this is working. And you had a quote from, again, the NISA Sales Summit, where you said, if you do not prioritize activity, people will do what they like or what feels good. And then you said, expectations without accountability are just suggestions. First off, couldn't agree more. But how do we know if any of this sales stuff is working?
Mm-hmm. The dashboards don't lie. It's in your dashboards. If and so then the next question becomes, well, how long do I wait? Not long. If any good salesperson dedicates even a reasonable amount of time, 60-80% of their time to true sales activity, you'll see a bump on the radar in 2 weeks. Now, if you're in professional executive placement, it's certainly going to take longer. But my background, a lot of it is industrial staffing. And so that's what I think about. But two to four weeks, the number of appointments you're sitting on will go up. That'll be the first indicator that you'll see. And then orders will start to come in. Orders start to come in. And then fulfillment after that. It does not take long. Weeks.
And we got to look at the numbers. We have to obsess over the numbers.
Yeah, you got to look at the numbers.
I think too often we operate sort of in goodwill. We operate in, we're doing something over here and, you know, hopefully down the line it'll lend to something. But I would agree, if you're not seeing success in 2 to 4 weeks, if you're not seeing at least some sort of leading indicator that says something is going to happen here, right? You don't have to close all the orders in 2 weeks,
right?
But if you don't have some sort of leading indicator saying, hey, what I am doing here or what I did then is impacting here, we need to change something up then and we need to rework the system.
You got it. That's it. If what you're doing now isn't working for a couple of weeks, then evaluate what you're doing. That's it.
Hey, it's Brad again. Before we get to the rapid fire round, I want to tell you about Haley Marketing. Take the Stage is presented by Haley Marketing. At Haley Marketing, we make world-class marketing easy, fast, and affordable. Marketing for the staffing industry is all we do. And if you need help with your marketing stack, whether that's a staffing website, digital marketing, branded content, recruitment marketing, or marketing technology, we would love to help. You can visit HaleyMarketing.com to learn more today. All right, let's get to the rapid fire round. Mark, before I let you go, I want to run you through the rapid fire round if you got a couple minutes.
I got a minute? Yeah, let's hit it.
All right. One book that has fundamentally changed your life.
Oh. Okay. I would say that it doesn't apply to business, though. Sapiens. If you haven't read Sapiens, it's amazing. It's a brief history of mankind. It changed how I think about lots of things. So that's the direct answer to your question. I will give you my, you know, for business side, I will give you my favorite author, Pat Lencioni. I love Pat Lencioni. He wrote Five Dysfunctions of a Team, Temptations of a CEO, Team Player. He's got a great lot of books out there that are all fable type books. So they're easy reads for people that don't like to read, but crazy valuable organizational business lessons.
Yeah, I'm trying to quickly browse Amazon here because the name is incredibly familiar, but I can't remember which one I actually read or which one you might even be able to see over my shoulder. Probably easier if I just turned around, but familiar with him as well. And I appreciate the suggestion there on the first book. I will check that out. Second question. You got 30 minutes to sit down with anybody living or dead. Who are you going to sit down with?
My dad.
It's a good answer, Mark.
My dad. I never knew him. So that'd be, you know, I the older I get, the more value I find in extended family and roots and where we've come from and how the heck we got here. So, yeah, that'd be my answer.
Love that answer. And the last one, one piece of advice that you would give for somebody just starting in the staffing and recruiting industry.
Make sure you're having fun. Fun is the barometer. I've told everybody that I've ever interviewed, you either passionately love staffing or you passionately hate it. There's no in between. If you're in between, you just don't hate it yet. So, fun is the meter. If you're having fun every day, then love it and experience it and suck it up. If you're not, there's a problem because it gets in your blood so fast that, it's one or the other.
I say all the time, the second I stop having fun with it, I'll be done. And that's, you know, I couldn't agree more with that, right? I think about the podcast here specifically. It takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of off hours time, but this, you know, I have a ton of fun doing it, ton of fun talking to people. So Mark, anything for me before I let you go?
I appreciate you doing this. I love the collaboration. I love that we're spreading good news out there. I like seeing people succeed. And like you said, people love staffing, so they tend to stay in the industry for a long time. And so whether you use these skills at your current company or somewhere else, it's cool to see that Haley and you, Brad, are just sharing positivity and good news with people.
He's Mark Winter, Principal CEO of Windsource Group. Mark, thanks so much for coming on and taking the stage with me.
Thanks for having me.